So turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. And they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" And he looked up and said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, "Do not even enter the village." So, why did Jesus draw him away, let him out of the village, don't even enter the village? I remember Jesus trying not to have it broadcast everywhere when he does a healing, because he wants to be able to enter a town freely. Perhaps there might be something to something I heard in a comment, I read in a commentary too, about Jesus drawing this man away so that he could concentrate on Jesus and not be distracted in his faith, in looking to Jesus for healing. Not to even be distracted by the village, by the people around. And today I want to talk to you about waiting, and waiting well, and praying in expectation, because it's important, and you have to treat your faith sometimes very gently and very carefully. I think that's why it's good to have a place like closet, might not be a closet, but some place that's your own that you go to and be with God, where you're not distracted. Because faith is a precious thing that needs to be nurtured and protected. And sometimes it takes a while for the blessing to come to fruition. And you want to protect that faith in the waiting. Now, I'm not saying that Christians don't have difficult times in this world, and I don't want anybody to go away from this sermon thinking that if you've ever had a difficult time, that somehow you were faithless, that somehow you didn't cut the mustard. Sometimes you just weren't up to, you were just weren't up to it. And that's why you failed and didn't get what you were asking for. I don't want to say that, because there's brokenness in the world, and there's things that we don't understand. There's things that we do understand, like Jesus saying that no servant is above his master, and if they hated him, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. So Christians sometimes just have a rough time just because the world hates us, because we know that we are of Christ. We are of the Holy Spirit, while the world is running after a lot of false things and demonic influences. So they don't want to hear, unless they want to come to Jesus, they don't want to hear the message that what they're doing is not right. So there's persecution, there's that. There's things God allows people to go through for his glory. There's a bigger picture of things. Just like the kid who was gone, who went, I heard a story one time, I think it was Dr. Davis Dobson, about his son Ryan going to a doctor's to take care of an ear infection that was had to be like painfully scraped off his ear inside or something. I don't know exactly how it was. But he had to hold his son down while the doctor did it. Now imagine a son being little enough that you don't understand medical procedures and why things are done. But yet he knows that the person who loves him the most in the world is holding him down while somebody else is causing him pain. Not understanding the greater love that that father had in taking his son to the doctors and holding his son down, what father enjoys that? So there are some times that God allows you to go through things and you don't understand why. So I'm not saying that there is not suffering in the world, but what I am trying to say with this message today, as we pray well and wait well and pray in expectation, that there are also many blessings that we miss out on, many blessings that we do not experience because we give up praying, we don't wait upon the Lord, that we don't nurture our faith. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. A fool might not just be a person wearing the party jester hat and having a cocktail in each hand and singing out loud, baldy songs. It might just be the person who gives you the perspective that the world gives you without God in it at all. They just tell you boldly and frankly what they've heard about everybody else who's gone through what you go through, forgetting that God is a God who still does miracles. Forgetting that God is God, yesterday, today, and forever. Forgetting that God is a mighty God, an awesome God, who blesses his people. It says in James 1:5 and 6-8, well actually 5-8, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We don't want to be double-minded, do we? We want to keep our minds set on faith. We want to keep strong with the Lord. So let's read through this big story, this big historical account from 2 Kings chapter 4. Because I want you to rely on the promises of God. I want you to rely on the understanding that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I want you to rely on asking anything, agreeing, any two of you agreeing and or come together and agree. Jesus is there with you. Agree together and pray. God giving you desires of his heart, but I also want you to make sure that you're careful, that you remember that your prayers should be according to the word of God, according to God's promises, and according to God's heart. When you pray in the name of Jesus, remember you're praying in the name of Jesus. That means according to the character of Jesus. Pray, God forbid, but if you pray, God forbid, Lord, let lightning strike my neighbor. Is that the heart of Jesus? So, God will give you the desires of your heart when your heart is in line with His heart. Because it's not just a selfish thing. It's a thing for His glory, by His word. And today you see a woman who's actually going to like really fight and grasp hold of God's promises and His word. And it's like she's almost begging, pleading, almost like setting her case just and not letting go of faith. You'll see how tenderly she holds on to faith. So watch this, because it's an important story. And sometimes it takes a while for a blessing. Sometimes you even think you have a blessing and then it's just a little bit longer. We just got a letter about taxes to our person who's been working on something that was just a little mistake that was corrected, but the tax people never saw the mistake, never saw the correction, even though it was all done well. We just got a letter that said, our inquiry, our question has been answered, and everything is at peace. Your inquiry of 19 months ago. About that long. Sometimes things take a little while. And it gets frustrating when things take a little while. But in God's sight, for His glory, in His time, we're reading this story today for His glory. So listen to these words from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. One day, I'm going to tell you this. It's a long story, but I'm going to give myself a challenge. I'm going to try not to stop while I'm reading these verses. And I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you after I'm done the reading. But I just want you to like sit back, lay back, don't fall asleep, but listen to the story because it's an exciting story. And it's interesting. And get all your emotions together in it because it's a powerful thing. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food, and she said to her husband, "Behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." One day he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' Gehazi answered, 'Well, she has no son and her husband is old.' He said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And he said, 'At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant.' But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time, the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, 'Oh, my head, my head!' The father said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again.' And he said, 'Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.' She said, 'All is well.' Then she saddled the donkey and she said to her servant, 'Urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, He said to Gehazi, his servant, "Look, there is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with well?'" And when she came to the mountain, to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi stressed, "And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" He said to Gehazi, "Tie up your garment and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply. And lay my staff on the face of the child." Then the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. Therefore he returned to meet him and told him, "The child is not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out.
Isn't that an interesting and fun story?
It's fun because we know the ending. And it worked out well. The biggest thing I want you, well, maybe not the biggest thing, but the thing I want to talk to you about today is like the focus of it all. It probably seems strange to you that this woman keeps on saying all is well. Doesn't seem to you or to I reading the story that all is well, does it? And even Elisha, when he gives instructions to Gehazi, says, "Don't talk to anybody, you know, don't greet anybody." He's like telling them, just stay focused. Stay focused on what you're supposed to do. Don't let yourself be distracted by anything. Actually, the whole story of Elisha starts out in the beginning with his, with the beginning of his taking the mantle from Elijah. It starts off with people telling him, "Do you know Elijah is going to be going from you?" And he keeps on telling everybody, "Be quiet. I know, but be quiet." It's almost as if like, let's let God deal with this. I want to stay close to Elijah because there's a blessing just in staying with him as long as I can. Just be quiet and stop just like being the reporter telling me all these things. Let me just hear what God has to say and what God has to say through my master. One of the most important things you can do for your faith is deciding who you want to hang around with, who you want to listen to, and who you want to have encourage you and build into your faith. And so the woman, she doesn't even tell her own husband what's going on. She says, all is well. And I recall in my mind, in my memory, I think when Paul was preaching on and Eutychus fell out of the window, it was almost that same attitude that Paul just, in my memory, if I recall correctly, it's like, he's like, he doesn't seem to have the concern. He's concerned, but he doesn't seem to have the like, oh, everything's lost. It's a, what a terrible time. He goes down leans over the child, and the child gets up. Eventually, he gets up. Paul preaches on and on, a little bit more. The attitude. Does anybody wonder why Gehazi couldn't do it when he just laid the staff? Why he couldn't do when, you know, it didn't have any effect? Maybe even Gehazi being focused from anybody saying anything different besides doing this miracle that God is going to do, maybe Gehazi keeping everything away from him like Elijah told him, maybe there was one thing that Gehazi did keep away from him. You know what it might have been? Might have been his own heart. This is something that is a possible understanding from the scripture, because you know that Gehazi later on, when Naaman is cleared of leprosy, he goes back and he tells a lie in order to get riches from the guy who was healed of leprosy. Elisha did not want him to do that. Elisha wanted God to get the glory and God to get the reward. But Gehazi, because of his greed, he wanted some of the riches, and he claimed some of the riches, and then the leprosy clung to him. Is it possible that the Gehazi could not carry the faith that would wake up that child because there was greed in his own heart? Some of the times we come to our prayer closets and our prayer rooms, and we're praying to God, God, oh please, bless, bless, bless. But God says, okay, you've cleared away the distractions. You make sure that you're not a companion of fools. Everyone you hang around with knows God's in the room. Everyone you hang around with that you trust yourself to, those people are proclaiming that God is a God of miracles, that God can bless, and that God can do amazing things. Even when everybody else says something different, God can see something different. You've kind of cleared the pathway for him with all your friends. But what about your own heart? Why do you even want this miracle to happen? Just so you can go on your own way, doing your own things your own way, and have your own happy life? Or is it that you might be tooled up, strengthened, and ready to serve him even more? The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah at the root was they were overfed, arrogant, and unconcerned. So you ask God for a blessing. Why? To use it for yourself? Or is it for his glory? So to keep focus on the inside, on the outside, is very important. And you hear that in that lesson. But how many of you have ever even read this story before and seen that? You're just like, wow, that's strange. But focus is important. When you're praying and expecting, what you read, what you listen to, there is no such thing as entertainment. Everything is a teaching tool for you. What they laugh at your sitcoms is something that maybe you'll laugh at. Maybe you won't take seriously. A lot of sins have come into America because people first laughed at them at a sitcom. And then they got comfortable with them. And then it became something all right, and then it became something protected by statute. No such thing as entertainment. Yes, things do entertain us, but everything is a teaching tool. Everything has a writer with a motive and with a heart that is either tuned to God like Elisha, or perhaps not quite so tuned to God like Gehazi. So, some other nice things to understand in this story, too. Is this woman's a rich woman? What does she need? Some of you have trouble maybe making ends meet or thinking where you're going to pay for this or pay for that and everything. Do you ever think those people who live pretty well, that they have their challenges, too? Sometimes it's even the richest people that have the greatest challenges. So Elisha, who teaches us that God saves, that God is a saving God, he shows us that God cares about the rich and the poor. And when he saves completely, and he saves wonderfully. Do you know this woman is not forgotten about either? You know how all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to God's purpose in Christ Jesus? As she keeps her focus toward God and toward Elisha and Elisha's God, God blesses her. You know, later, God blesses her that God even gives her a message that there's going to be a famine. And she leaves the area. And then later on, Gehazi, who, when you look at the scriptures, he's not with Elisha. So the leprosy must have driven him from Elisha. But he's in the king's court. He's like somehow around the king in the future. And the king says, tell me about the wonderful things that Elisha... He says something like, tell me about all the wonderful things Elisha did. Because maybe he just needs some things that he thinks is entertainment. But he's getting some holy entertainment, some holy care coming back to him. Because just at that moment, when the Shunammite wants her land back, and she comes back after the famine, she gets her land back and she gets the crops back. She gets it all back because just at that moment, the person who didn't have his heart right with the Lord is proclaiming what the Lord has done so that the Shunammite who God is watching over might be restored in full back in where she was living before. So God even uses the person who was kind of weak in the faith to help the person who was strongly looking in faith. God is working out everything in his wonderful big plan, and we don't understand it all. But God takes care of people. God takes care of people. So what can we do while we're waiting for the blessing? Well, wait for the blessing well. Be careful who you talk to. I try to guard my thoughts. I do. I try to take every thought captive. And sometimes it's a battle, it's a war. And I have to say, no, that's not my thought. That's from the devil. I have to proclaim things in prayer, and I have to separate things out. You should interrogate your own thoughts every once in a while to see whether they're actually your own thoughts or whether the enemy is infiltrating and trying to tell you things that are not true, not according to his words. You've all heard things in your life. You're stupid. You'll never amount to much. Whatever. I mean, lies. The power of blessing is something different. We bless every Sunday when we close the church service. We bless. Why do we do that? Just tradition? No, it has a purpose and it has a meaning. And thoughts and words are powerful. So are your own, and your own to yourself. My wife reminds me when I do something that's just kind of like when I touch a hot grill, oh, I'm so stupid. Don't you get stupid. But, you know, everybody, that happens, right? Things like that, right? You learn your lessons. But my wife doesn't like it, and she reprimands me, and that's good when I call myself stupid. Because when my kids were little, I used to tell them, you know, don't act stupid or something like that. You know, I could say don't act, but I tried to train myself to never call them the thing. Never say that is your nature. I am the father. I am the person who is one of the chief blessers of the family. Why would I say to them, oh, you're such a slow learner? Why would I say to them, oh, you're this or you're that? Are you taking the devil's side of things? Because the devil wants to kill and destroy and make sure that you are not much. Make sure that you don't accomplish much. I see great things in you. You might not feel like you have much, but you know how much God can do with a little bit that's right? Oh, I see great promise in you. So Watch who you hang around with, watch your own thoughts, and go to warfare. The Lord rebuke the devil. Oh, Father God, please rebuke the devil. And I say in the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus Christ, the Lord rebuke the demons that are trying to distract me from believing all that I can believe and receive from Him, so that I may be a better servant. You see what I mean? The focus on the outside and the inside person. You need to work on that. And while you are waiting for the blessing, sometimes it might seem long. It might be like 19 months. Or it might be even longer. Even for that prodigal to come back. Or that person who never really believed in the first place. Maybe there was just like something that was just, you know, it was just peer pressure. Still, either way, and whether you don't even know the answer to that question, have you given up praying? Short time or long, does it seem like a long time to God? Even 20 years? Don't stop swinging that hammer until the rock cracks, unless you get a special message from God, like Paul said, and said, like, my grace is sufficient for you. Keep on keeping on. Persevere. And wait well. Keep moving too while you're waiting. Don't just do nothing. Bless somebody else. Help somebody else. Sow the seeds of blessing in somebody else's life, hoping that somebody else is sowing the seeds of blessing in the person you're praying about. Or in that situation you're praying about. Concerned about your business? Help somebody else with theirs while you're waiting for God to move the log from the jam. Bless. Be a blessing. That woman kept moving, didn't she? I mean, she was fast moving and she was focused. And she keeps on saying, all is well. Maybe she's saying that to them. Maybe she's saying that to herself. Words are important. Words are so important. So try to speak the good words to yourself. Like in Psalm 42. Read Psalm 42 and it's like, oh, it's the psalm of the depths. But it keeps on coming up. It's like it keeps on coming up for air. Why art thou downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise my Savior, my God. And sometimes it's the way you feel. Until finally, God gives you a little help. Like those guys who were carrying the stretcher or whatever that guy was laying on to let him down through the roof tiles. You know, sometimes somebody else helps you out with a little bit of faith. And you pray it's not somebody like Gehazi who might have some greed in his heart, but somebody who's earnestly praying for you for the right reasons. So, watch your words and the words of others. You know, if you said something that you were praying for a blessing of God in your life, you could lift up whatever issue or problem or challenge you have, and I bet I could find some church people who are going to tell you how that turned out horribly for somebody else, and they would have you practically crying by the time you're done relating your story. Because all of a sudden it'd be like, here's the prayer I want you to pray. Here's the thing I want you to come to the Lord for. And all of a sudden, it's like tabloid time. It's like going through the grocery store aisle. Anybody wish that those magazines would not be in the grocery store aisle? How many of those magazines are like shouting out at you, be afraid and spend $10 on this magazine. Be afraid or be interested in this lurid story. Be interested in this sinful state. Be interested in this life that became a total wreck. Be interested in the royal family who's like a train wreck. Be interested in this. How many times do you hear anything that's good? And a lot of times even the stories that they'll have about God will mess up. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had encouragement when you go through the aisles of life? What if you only lived off the stuff they sold in the cashier aisle? What if that's all you had to live on? How healthy would that be for you? Okay? But that's what a lot of people live on. And when you share what's God doing in your life or what you hope God would do in your life, that's when a lot of Christians are giving back and forth. But we need to give what the scripture's saying. You know, we've had healing services before. And you know one of the things we do before we ask people to come up for healing? Anybody know what we do? Anybody know what we do before? We don't just say, oh, welcome, come to the door, sit right down. Anybody know what we do? Right. Anybody been to a healing service before? Yeah. Anybody know what a healing service is?
It's everything right with, between you and the Lord.
That's one thing. That's what we're talking about too, like making sure the inside is right, right? Making sure the inside's clear. Are you ready for the blessing? Very important. What's another thing we do? I got two more things in my mind I'm thinking of.
We pray.
And you ask Jesus into your heart.
Ask Jesus into your heart.
You anoint the person.
What? Anoint the person. All those things are wonderful. But two things that are like pretty essential. It's like, you know, when Jehoshaphat fought against armies, there was praise and there was singing. Carol's not here today, but a lot of times her prayers have, thank you God for what you're going to do. And when you come into the service singing, it's like you're expecting good things. You're expecting God to be amazing. How many people come into church expecting God to be amazing? Expecting to be blessed, you know? Or how many of you like, oh, how long we're going to go through this and then we can get back home and blah, just like God checked off the box today. Well, that's, no, I mean, the singing gets you ready. But you know another thing we do that maybe you've forgotten? We have testimonies. We have people who say, can anybody tell me about a time when they knew somebody got healed by the Lord? When the Lord did something amazing. And people start sharing stories back and forth. And when you hear those stories, it's like, wow, you know what? I think that could be me. You know, why not me? If God blessed them, why not me? That's what you need. That's what you need. People to build you up. And people to bless you and really bless you. And one more thing I'll say about this lesson is kind of weird, isn't it? Seven sneezes. My mother sneezed a lot in the mornings, I remember. Like I think she said it's like morning nose or something. But you know, I could hear, seem to recall her sneezing. Lisa sneezed yesterday, and I said, are you okay? and she actually said, and I won't mention the name, but she said, I was sneezing like somebody in the church who sometimes sneezes rather loudly. I'm not going to mention names because you know I don't like to embarrass people. But anyway, so what's the big deal with the sneezing? Well, I've read one thing that, maybe it's like vigor, life. Like sneeze is a sign of like the vigorousness. Or another thing that maybe it was the body getting rid of toxins. If that's so, one thing I know for sure that in the Bible, seven is a number of completion. It's like it's a perfect completion, like fullness. So before, you're wondering what happened. And this story, I think, is telling us about how to wait for the miracle. And you're thinking, like, is this boy okay now? It's all gone. It's like, can the man completely see? Yeah. And it wasn't like wasn't like he did anything that was not exactly the way he wanted to do it. There was a purpose why that man could only see people like trees walking around, and then they could see clearly. Maybe he was even talking about his disciples and the people before that in that book in the Bible that said that they couldn't see things clearly. Are you still so dull? Do you still not understand? He says things like that. And I think there's a verse there somewhere before that where he's saying, like, do you still have no understanding? I forget exactly how it says it. But he could be talking about those kind of things. But there's a purpose in everything God does. He does all things well. Jesus did everything perfectly. There was never anything substandard he did. He did all things well. So when he does something in a certain way, it is for a certain reason. And when he, in Elisha's time, healed like this, there's a certain reason. And I believe one of the reasons is to tell us to wait, to focus, to keep our hearts right, to keep the outside influences right. And that when God brings the miracle, he will bring it. And it's a complete blessing. 7 times sneezing, 7 times it's all out. He's fine. He's vigorous. He's up and he's running. So this is the only thing that I have seen in the Bible. Tell me if there's others you have found that talks about sneezing. Tell me, anybody, does it say anywhere in the Bible where you should say God bless you when somebody sneezes? So, it doesn't. Now, I'm not telling you you're doing something bad if you do that, but you remember how I told you I'm trying to train myself instead of saying goodbye, which means pretty much nothing, except people are saying something good to you when you leave. Good something. That it was kind of like a shortened form of God be with you, that I'm trying to say more to people when they leave. God be with you, which means something. Although it still sounds weird out of my own mouth, my own ears, to say it to people, because it sounds like so stately and formal. I say it to my wife and she'll even say it like, you know, and also with you. Like we're in the church service or something, you know? I just want to say, God be with you. And so I'm trying to train myself because it makes sense and it has more purpose. So you might notice that when Lisa sneezed in the kitchen, I didn't say, God bless you. I said, are you all right? Because the trouble is, when you don't say God bless you, in some company of people, they're going to think, wow, these people are rude. They don't even care about me at all. But I would bet you that a lot of people who don't believe in God or have anything to do with God much at all in their life say God bless you. And it's nothing but superstition or just words or just tradition. Now, does God bless when they say it? That's up to God. That's not my thing. I don't know. But all I'm saying is I want to be more intentional about what I do. You know? I think like if I told somebody like in a mixed crowd of people, I don't say you're all right. Although if I heard somebody sneeze, like somebody in this church sneezes out in the crowd, I would probably say, are you all right? But imagine if you did say something like, wow, that was a good sneeze. They would say, yeah, they think they're coming down with something. I don't know. They've been like, at that point, right there is an entryway to a real blessing, to a real prayer. Because you could say, oh, well, you know what? Would you mind if I just said a prayer for you? Because I know my God would love to bless you with, you know, just I would just love to pray with you. Would that be okay? And they might be like, sure. You'd be surprised at how many people who even don't have a relationship with the Lord would be okay with you just saying a simple prayer. And you say, oh Lord, help them to get through this. Help this not to be one of those colds that lingers for months. Help them, Lord Jesus, to feel refreshed real soon and to give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. See what I mean? Something that people normally expect. If you say something a little different, it can give you a doorway into actually doing something intentional that makes sense. So, I don't know. It's just one of those little things that you might think, oh, my pastor's weird about that. But now, if you sneeze around me and I don't say God bless you, You know it's not because I don't love and care for you. It's just because it makes no sense to me. Okay? As far as I see, you sneeze. You're still vertical. Okay. Wait. All right. That's good. But I would love to pray for you. I would love to pray blessing upon you. But we don't want things to be just tradition. You ever feel like even your dinner prayers, maybe it's the same thing you always say, you know? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Thank you for our daily bread. Yeah. It's fine if you know what you're saying. But sometimes even that becomes just kind of like you're just saying it and just like, you know. Sometimes you might even forget to pray before your meal. But after you had your meal, you remember, I forgot to pray. It's like, you know what? That was really tasty. Maybe it's even more meaningful to say, God, you know, that was a great meal. I enjoyed that. Oh, that verb even tasted good. Yeah. Lord, thank you. I don't know. I'm just seeing how many are still paying attention. Okay. So, yeah, we talked about a lot of things today. So, keep focus. Expect God to do great things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's still a God of miracles, right? Amen? And so, as kindly as you can, the people you need to say, be quiet. And if you need to only even tell your own self inside in certain ways that you've spoken before, be quiet. Pray in faith, pray strong, and expect God to do the miracle, to do the blessing. He won't forget you. He loves you. He remembers you. Remember we talked about weeks or months ago that the prayers that you prayed so long ago, do you remember? God remembers those, even if you don't. So pray in faith. In fact, it does say in James, the prayer in faith will make the sick person well. If he has sinned, the Lord will forgive him. It says something like that. I know I'm just kind of remembering as far as my mind can remember. But if I can leave you with one scripture verse to conclude this message, listen to this scripture verse. What I want you to listen to is the grammar. Okay? I know it's like grammar. I want you to listen to like tenses, sentence structure. You're back in English class. I want you to listen to this because it doesn't make sense unless you're a person of faith. Okay? From Mark 12:24, and I'm reading it in the New American Standard Bible, but you could read it in ESV too. It says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Do you hear that? Do you hear the grammar? Isn't the grammar amazing? You hear how the grammar speaks faith? Believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you.
I'm sorry, where are you reading?
Mark 12:24. No, wait, 11:24. Did I say 12?
You did.
Because there's a big 12 right beside where I'm reading. I was distracted by a number. Okay, so Mark 11:24. I'm so sorry. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Amen.